Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Information 8, yes.
T-Mac for the win off the top rope.
Boog Shumby.
What happened to the boog person?
With Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
We'll have Boog Shumby in a matter of moments. Dave Wannstedt will be in studio at 4 o'clock because he's always available unless he's doing something. And somehow today, on this beautiful day in Chicago, he's not doing anything.
It's outstanding. Very much looking forward to talking to Dave. Any smoked old fashions this time? I don't believe so.
We're going to just not do anything that we did a couple Thursdays ago. I'm
going to eliminate the whole thing?
Yeah. We're going to just not do that.
You know what I'm in? I'm in.
Right?
I'm in to skip the whole damn thing.
We're going to skip the whole operation.
Absolutely. A lot less blood.
Mariano is the hitter. He takes a strike.
Metaphorically and physically. Yeah, a lot less blood for all of
us. Me not getting the schedule. I wasn't expected to get any scoop
God,
today.
What a day.
It was an eventful day.
Tomorrow is an eventful day around Major League Baseball. It is the 2nd of June, and it will be Lou Gehrig Day. Because that's the date in 1925 that Gehrig became the Yankees' starting first baseman, and the date in 1941 that he passed away at the age of 37. And that is something that is happening all around baseball again, and our guy Boog Shumby is the one who has championed that and is a big reason it has come to pass for ALS research.
I got it. And Boog Shumby is with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. What's up, Boog?
What's up, guys? How are we doing?
Doing very well. Thank you. Yeah, so I retweeted it and I saw you're trying to sell 2023 of the obvious shirts to end ALS for Lou Gehrig Day. But Lou Gehrig Day is tomorrow, but the date to sell the shirts is June 15th. What's the significance of June 15th?
Well, June 15th, the Cubs were nice enough, you know, that obviously they have Lou Gehrig Day. This is the third year, and it's June 2nd. But only half the teams get to be home, so then they get to a choice if they on their own want to have their own Lou Gehrig Day. So for the Cubs,
I see.
Even though we will we'll be on the road tomorrow. They are going to do a Lou Gehrig Day, an ALS Awareness Day, June 15th. So that's sort of the significance.
Very cool. What will you be doing, and what do you know about what baseball's plans are for tomorrow? And people can get those shirts, by the way, at Obvious Shirts website, and you can also check out projectmainstreet.org. But what about for tomorrow, Boog?
Yeah, so, I mean, you're going to see, you know, the standard wristbands, patches, base jewels. Each park, you know, is a little bit on their own in terms of how much messaging, but, you know, have somebody from an ALS community locally throw out a first pitch. You know, obviously whether it's an advocate or someone in early stages, and you know, it's sort of dependent park to park, but, you know, more than anything, the league's just trying to raise as much awareness as possible. And then you know, the two things are raising money for research and then raising money for care. Project Main Street, you know, you guys know the story of I lost my friend Tim. I met Tim Sheehy when I was 7 years old. He was diagnosed in 2005. He died in 2007. But before he died, you know, he and his wife, Katie, were having just, they were being overwhelmed by costs. So many things, it's pretty incredible, aren't covered by insurance when you're diagnosed with ALS. And the cost can be pretty significant. So Project Main Street raises money, and every dollar in goes out to someone living with the disease. So, you know, that's part of it. Obviously, my hope would be that our charity ceases to exist at some point, but we're a ways away from a cure. And, you know, I think the other part is it's pretty, you know, I make this point every year with you guys, but like, you know, if Lou Gehrig was diagnosed today, the path and what would happen would be exactly the same, which is amazing to think about that in 2023, we actually have incurable diseases, right? So yeah. This disease is 100% fatal. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. The four Cubs ALS shirt in my drawers will get worn either tomorrow or maybe on the 15th when things happen.
Both. There's a laundry cycle in between June
2nd. There is. There is.
Well played, Danny. Well played.
Yeah. Danny, seeming to know a lot more about my household than I'm comfortable with.
Well, most people do laundry in a two-week span.
Don't judge me.
All right, fine.
Actually, go ahead and judge me. But, yeah, no, good stuff, Boog. Love that baseball continues to embrace it. And the Cubs as well, knowing how passionate you are. Hey, a quick question before we talk Cubs. Just around MLB, have you noticed this? And maybe you've noticed it for Marquee. I certainly noticed it when I was in the booth the other day for the Cubs Radio Network, and I feel like I've noticed it on many other broadcasts. Should they be giving broadcasts an extra 20, 30 seconds pitch clock-wise when you come back to start an inning? Everything feels a little rushed to begin an inning. And I'm wondering if you've had that sense or talked to other broadcasters who feel that way as well.
Yeah. I mean, at times it can, you got to watch the time on both sides. I think where it gets challenging is if something happens at the end of an inning and you've got to make a choice. Am I going to try to explain this now? Is something up in the air? Cause you could miss a pitch on the other side. And that's the thing you really don't want to have happen. I just think, look, you know, there's intent here in terms of what the rules are trying to do. And it's to me fairly remarkable how perfectly they worked in terms of, you know, moving the game along, not just time of game, but also pace. But I mean, they shaved basically 30 minutes off the game, you know? So it's pretty significant. So depending on what you're talking about, you know, if you're looking to add an extra 30 seconds every half inning, you know, now you're talking about adding
9 minutes
to the game. Yeah, whatever. So, you know, that's I felt rushed? I would say probably, you know, I feel a little bit more on the radio side, just making sure, you know, you get out because it's you got to make sure you're describing what you're seeing.
Well, that's where Speaks has his experience. he's a radio voice, as you know, Boog.
You know, long time, 12-inning total play-by-play guy, as you know, Boog. You know.
Is that what the total's up to?
Yeah, I'm up to 12. So okay. That means...
not counting spring training. Don't sell yourself short.
Sure. Danny likes to point out that I've peaked at 12.
You're not done. You're peaking later this summer.
That's true.
That's very good. I like Boog when he talks to people like you and Benetti and Buck and talks about as a fellow play-by-play voice. It makes me smile.
Yeah.
I enjoy it very much.
It's true.
It's true. No, it's true.
Not really.
Well, I did it in high school, so it's three play-by-play voices here
go.
Just sitting around chopping up. What I did want to talk to you about, Boog, is you made fun of us 2 weeks ago, whatever, for like talking. We have you on every week, and sometimes we talk about baseball like it's football, and it's not. Obviously, it's not, right? But Jed said it's not early forever, and these teams that need to make decisions on the direction that they're going by July 31st, on are we buying or are we selling, it does truncate it a bit because obviously they play games after the deadline. They finished 40-31 last year, but not a whole heck of a lot of people were paying attention because they weren't in contention for anything. So I am curious, when the Cubs now this year have been bad for a much larger chunk than they were good at the beginning, when do you take the snapshot of the team at this point, Memorial Day, 60 games, 80 games, whenever you, it is for you, and say, this is what they are?
That's a good question. This is what they are. I don't know that I have a set answer on that one. I think, you know, for me, because I'm not having to make the trades, I think I feel like I'll know what I know. I do feel like it's definitely swung, and I of late it hasn't, the play hasn't been as good. I still feel as though if there's one, the Reds came in and kicked their butt over the course of that weekend, and I think there's some randomness to that. Justin Steele just wasn't good, but he's good. I do think that trip to Miami and D.C. is one of the ones. It's a subtlety, but you can't go 1-6 on that trip. And, just if you want to add two more wins, if you want to get greedy and say three more wins, that's more to me, I think, where this team is, and that's where they coughed up some opportunity. But as far as when, it's a great question. I don't have a one size fits all on that one. I mean, I also would say what are we talking about? I mean, if they can get back, it just sort of depends on what you want, right? They wouldn't have to work all that hard to be legit playoff contenders. I mean, the National League, everybody's a legit playoff contender.
Well, okay.
It's not a particularly good league.
Right.
So what do you want?
So that's actually what we were leading the show with. And we didn't do it as much for the whole league, but for each of the Cubs and the Sox in their respective divisions. I struggle with it because obviously the players and the manager should note, hey, we're only 4.5 games out. For the Cubs, we're only 7 games out for the Sox. But I don't know necessarily that Rick Hahn or Jed Hoyer should take much solace in that when they have to make big picture decisions about the team, because the product isn't very good. And I hear what you're saying. The record is worse than the product has suggested, and the run differential and all of that stuff. But I don't know, man. I hope that they're not being fooled by the luck of geography and the division at which they reside in, because if these teams were in different divisions, they'd be in a much different spot.
You hope who's not being fooled?
Say again?
You hope who's not being fooled?
Front offices.
Front offices and fans.
That's two different things.
But I would
which
say
one
both.
What are we talking about?
Both. But we can start with front offices.
The front office is not going to be fooled.
You don't think teams have ever made decisions based on, hey,
no,
I'm
saying this front office is not going to be fooled.
This front office, okay.
This front office this year is not going to be fooled. They are not fooled. That's what I would say.
That they're aware and they're willing to take a cold, hard look over the next couple of months or 6 weeks and decide what they are in terms of truly being great. Whereas fans can fall into a very different place, and then the manager and the players are often in between, trying to speak to the realities of the division while perhaps also knowing some of the truths that the front office might know.
Yeah, and you get off to a 12-7 start, and you get excited, and you start thinking, let's get back to the playoffs. I get it, I don't worry about the front office making a rash. I think Jed and Carter have a pretty mature perspective on where this group is and how it goes. I mean, there's still going to be disappointments, right? I mean, but I would still say that they, I think they have a pretty clear perspective on what they thought this team was capable of and relative to where it is now, what'll happen in the coming months or weeks. I'm not that smart.
Oh, you're plenty smart, Boog. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
He said it.
There was, I was very bullish on this group. And I've spent, last couple of weeks kind of doing this every day, being asked, are you still bullish on this group? And there've been a couple times where I've said yes. And it's harder for me lately because I think that Red series was tough. That was the one where I was looking at it, I was like, man, they're just not playing well. Whereas overall, I think there was a lot of times they were playing well, but not necessarily winning, that kind of thing. Did they play well in the Tampa series? Because what an incredible sweep that would have been. Did you feel like you were watching a team play well against the best team in baseball?
Yes, they played well, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, they played well. But I would also say, in similar vein, the way the Reds thing probably was a tiny bit of an aberration that, I think it happened back to back in a way where it's funny, right? How we do it. I'm probably interested more in Danny's perspective on it, but like the way the fans do it and the way you guys will do it, like you're probably not that cool with, they lost to the Reds and it was weird, but it's kind of an aberration. But then when you take two or three from the Rays, nobody sits there and says, they just took two or three from the best team in baseball. That was weird, maybe a little bit of an aberration.
I think at least for me, it's like, because I was not nearly as bullish on them coming into the year as Spieg. So I think we deal with a little bit of confirmation bias. But what you're saying about the average fan is 100% right. They were supposed to take two of three from the Rays, and what happened against the Reds was fluky. That's how the average fan looks at it.
Yeah, but it's also, super, super disappointing. I mean, I guess, in the end, they probably, I think you'd like to have seen them, win two of three. And then, it ends up being a net loss of a game, right? But so it's not as big a swing as you might think. Like, if you're hashing out probabilities against the best team in the game, you're decent chance you're going to lose two or three against the Reds, where you feel like you're as good. You win two or three, and then that puts you in the spot where you go 3-3, right?
Yeah. Hey, Boog, are they still doing the thing where they turn the knob or start the key and do the thing? They're still doing it, right?
And you still
think you know what it is, right? You still think
I still know what it is.
Oh, you still know what it is. Do you know how few members of the Cubs believe that you know what it is? It's a remarkable amount. Like, Nico doesn't believe.
No way Boog knows.
Yeah, that's Nico, who doesn't believe you know. And then we talked to Willie Harris last week.
Cubs third base coach, Willie Harris. Once a guy is on base, they seem to be doing a...
I think they're turning the volume up, or somebody said, they're turning the ignition of a car.
What are they doing, Willie?
I can't share that information with you guys, man. As bad as I would like to, I cannot share that.
Come on!
That's inside stuff.
Oh, man, we talked to Nico, and he wouldn't share it. Boog says he knows it. And Nico doesn't buy that Boog knows it.
And Boog won't tell us either. Do you believe that Boog knows?
No way Boog knows.
Boog knows nothing, Bo. Boog doesn't know anything. I guarantee you that.
Boog knows nothing.
We've learned that in our conversations with him.
Yeah, I try to tell him that all the time.
So Boog knows nothing.
Damn, Boog. Shots fired.
Here's what I'm going to need to do. I'm going to need now...
Oh,
God. Really listened? I've alluded to the fact that I know. And now I'm going to make it a point to go let them know, and I'm going to demand an apology from both of them.
Okay.
On-air apology or private apology?
On-air apology.
Okay, yeah, that's the kind of demand we can get behind.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. So I'm going to go to Willie Harris and Miko Horner. Yes.
And prove Excellent. To them. All right, good.
Excellent.
We're trying to foment disagreement here. On this show.
Yeah, right. No, I get you. Mm-hmm. You should.
Yeah, right. Anything to make it about us, Boog, really, is what we're trying to do here. Yeah. When you saw what happened to Justin Steele, what did you think it was?
I don't know what you saw, but, you know, our only thing was him kind of shaking his arm out, and yep. he looked like moderately uncomfortable. And then we had Jed right away, and he just said, you know, some forearm tightness. I guess because we had him on it right away, it felt like they were being overly cautious.
That's what it felt like to me, and I'm clinging to that as I hope traffic with myself. Some of those things that, like, you know, he said he felt good. He even said he felt good after, and all of the caution that goes on. It's not like forearm tightness is ever a good thing for a pitcher, but I'm hoping it doesn't mean the instantaneous one-day worst-case scenario.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, right. No. I mean, I will tell you this. What you're pushing at right now, that hasn't entered my brain.
Really?
Really?
No, no.
See, that's interesting.
No, not in a one-off type, no.
Gotcha. Right. Well,
I reserve the right to change my mind, but, like, no, not with that. No, that's not what I thought.
Right, because usually they know and they can tell if something has snapped. And, right. and we're not in that situation. And forearms do get tight. They do sometimes indeed get tight.
Huh.
Yeah. God, you guys are probably, you were taking a happy bus and just driving it right off the cliff. Golly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Any other surgical procedures you foresee on the horizon, fellas?
No.
Is this hour brought to you by the Vasectomy Clinics of America?
It could be. It could be.
I mean, it should be.
We'll talk more about ALS. Yeah, this has really been a laugh a minute.
All right.
Unbelievable.
Let's just try again next week.
How about this?
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do? I think I'm really going to take this to my advantage. I am going to go to Willie Harris and Miko Horner and anybody else on the team, and I'm going to say, I bet you I know what you guys are doing, and I will prove it to you, and I actually can prove it to them. And once I prove it to them, then they have to make a donation to my charity.
How's that?
I love that.
That's great.
That's great. That's perfect. All right, Boog.
All right.
And then talk about it on TV and name and mention the show. All right.
I mean, Danny, come on, buddy. Like, you know, baby steps. Come on now.
Am I coming out too strong?
You're sitting next to the play-by-play guy, you know? Just you sit down.
All right, yeah, right. I'll be his color analyst. I'll be his spotter. My bad.
Yeah.
All right, Boog, enjoy the West Coast, man. We'll talk soon.
Bye, boys.
See you, man.
ProjectMainStreet.org. Check out the shirts on the Obvious Shirts website.
All right. Well, good. So
I pushed too hard there at the end.
A little bit.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Came off desperate. Yeah. I hate it when that happens.
You're very direct in that way. You try to get what you need.
In
all times. And it's probably better. It's probably a healthier way to be overall.
I don't know.
Does it work for you?
Sometimes it crashes and burns. Got a small circle of friends, not a big one. It rubs a lot of people the wrong way, I've found. You know,
well, we love you around here.
Well, you tolerate me contractually.
No, I said I said we love you around here.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm speaking for Shane, speaking for Tanny, right? Don't you think love is fair?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, guys. Yeah. I can't even look at him. I can't feel that rejection again. Dave wants that we'll be in studio in 40 minutes. I think off that conversation, it's a good time. Speaks has a new venture that is already making news and in a legitimately cool way, and there's an awesome story attached to it. Next on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
And then I met Buck.
Hello, Chicago!
Afternoons on The Score.
Nick Senzel at the plate, right-handed batter.
Friedel doesn't go. The pitch lined in the left center field for a base hit. It'll roll all the way to the wall. Friedel flying around the bases. Around third. He's coming home. No throw. Friedel scores. RBI double for Nick Senzel. It's now 8-3 Cincinnati here in the seventh.
Don't I sound good, Danny?
What a call by Zach Zaidman.
Yeah, man.
On the Cubs Radio Network.
That was from Sunday. I had so much fun in that booth. Like me and Zach and Ron Coomer. Rich Wyatt was the engineer that day. What a blast it was.
Can we just mark this moment in time?
Yeah.
3:29 p.m. on Thursday, June 1st.
Uh-huh.
I think Danny made a mistake.
What? Aren't we supposed to talk about Zach doing play-by-play?
I don't think so. I don't think that's what's happening. I think he made a mistake.
I didn't think that happened.
I don't know. It's
good for morale, though. Like, when I can make a mistake and everyone around here is like, you know what? I can too. So sometimes it's by design.
You know what?
An intentional mistake.
And then this guy over here Smart. Is not in the room telling me about his diet and why he's not losing weight.
It's kind of like Mike Trout striking out with the bases loaded. Like, he's just throwing everybody else a bone. Just
remind people that it's possible he is human too.
Hard job.
That was amazing.
Hard thing to do, everybody.
That should not be the highlight of my day. But here we are. Wow. Okay, well, that was a great job by Zach, who is a longtime play-by-play voice.
Yeah.
But you...
We like to joke about me being a big league play-by-play guy, but the truth is, Danny, I sort of am.
You sort of are, and it started the dream a long time ago, and then this show, and then spring training, and now here you are, and you've taken it to the next level. Tell people what's going on.
So, new podcast dropping today. Episode 1 is out. It's called The PBP for Play by Play, and I've been obsessed with the job and what it entails, especially over the last 3 years, because, as you know, I've done 12 innings stretched out over 12 games. Over the course of 3 seasons, which is a very natural way to enter the business, I think. But I've been obsessed with like how to try to be good at it, but also what makes a great one. Because you have to be technically sound. You've got to be calm and comfortable because we're hanging out for a few hours. And you have to be entertaining and expressive. And as I delved into it, I realized that the job has a lot more depth to it than I'd realized. Like artistic depth, creative depth, psychological depth, lots of facets to the job and the role that made me want to dive deeper. So now I have. So every episode, I'll talk for a little while about play-by-play and about a facet of it that I find interesting because it's the first thing I ever wanted to be. It's the very first thing I ever wanted to be. I wanted to be the person bringing baseball to life. I think for my older brother, truthfully, but then that became everybody, you know, because I grew up watching him listen to baseball games. And I was like, man, I kind of wish he was listening to me, you know. It's funny how those things happen, right?
That's a therapized thought, but that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
Ton of sense.
You know, so, and the pod is going to be me talking about an aspect of play-by-play and then talking to somebody who does it or did it and does it really well. And luckily, since we've been in this business as long as we have, Episode 1 is out today, and it's Joe Buck. And at the end of the episode, I'll tell you that episode 2 next week is Jason Benetti. You know, these are brilliant guys and practitioners of it who are also cool and conversational. And then there's a few more in the can and been working on getting more interviews lined up. And we'll do, I think, somewhere between 12 and 16 of them between now and the end of baseball season. Ryan Porth, our guy, is the producer of the show and is doing a great job. And I'm really psyched about it. It's fun to work on something that you're passionate about, as you know.
That's amazing. And like I said in the tease before the segment, it is already making news. It's been a long time since we've been talked about on Awful Announcing and the New York Post and all of those playing Barrett Sports Media. So good job by you.
It was time.
getting us out there. That's very much appreciated. Your first guest was Joe Buck.
Yeah.
And he, whether knowingly or unknowingly, you got him to give some legitimate news here.
You think you'll ever do baseball again? Do you want to?
Yeah, I think I will. I've never said that before, but I just feel like I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. So I think at some point I'll get the itch again. But it's not going to be – it would be local, you know. If doing a handful of games in St. Louis, doing a handful of games if we move to Denver, doing a handful of games in Minnesota. You know, who knows? But it's not going to be, hey, welcome to the World Series. This is my 25th. I'm done with that. That's enough.
So, and that was kind of the most we talked about it in the conversation. But I remember thinking, man, Buck grew up as a toddler crawling around the studio or the booth as his dad did Cardinals games. How could you not want to envision in your dotage, right, in your 60s or whatever, your 70s and beyond, doing what, 10, 20 Cardinals games a year? Like, wouldn't it be fun to just be able to drop in as a made guy and get a chance to do what you love to do?
Costas.
If you still love to do it. Costas, exactly right. Costas stopped doing everything in broadcasting, but the only thing he does every once in a while is some baseball play-by-play,
MLB
for the
Network.
Most part.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. And you know, so he has his HBO show.
Oh, yeah, he still does.
His HBO show came back.
Whoa, but Max.
Oh, God. I don't know if I'm going to love
Remember,
that.
Brought to you by HBO.
It's not HBO Max. It's Max, the place where you can watch HBO.
And this is 2 days in a row now for Danny with the Max thing. So it's almost intentional at this point. But if you notice that the Max advertising, and we love them, but here you hear ads for them. At the movies, there's a big trailer with Jason Momoa. And every time I hear, going great, Max. Thanks for having me.
Every time. Every time.
That's right. And yes, texters, Tom Hamilton will join me, Max Spiegel, at some point on
Got
an episode of the PBP.
Got to. Yeah. So people can find it on the Odyssey app.
Everywhere.
Going great, Max. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Tom. On the Odyssey app, but also on Apple Podcasts, wherever
Spotify,
you get your podcast.
Wherever you get your pods. The PBP.
The PBP. There's one more snippet of Buck you should hear. An awesome
story.
Because I told him the story about me trying to talk to Jack Clark and Mickey Tettleton and these guys, Rob Deer at Fenway at batting practice one day. And I said to Jack Clark, I think I've told you this story.
Yeah.
And we're like, hey, Jack, that's pretty cool. You guys hanging around, you know, talking and trying to hit homers at BP. That's pretty cool. And he looked at me and said, are we going to do this effing interview or what? Just blew up on me.
Incredible.
Which I thoroughly deserved.
Yeah.
And so I told that to Buck, and then he told this one about Ken Griffey.
I have had plenty of interesting interactions around the batting cage. I had one with Ken Griffey Jr. and it does kind of relate to the local stuff, but he's taking batting practice, and you know, after every round, he's kind of get out and look at me and glare at me, and I could just feel that he was dying to say something to me. And then next round, he got out and he went up to my broadcast partner, Mike Shannon, who he knew, and he was kind of looking at me. And I basically, by the end of his round of his time in the batting cage, went up to him and was like, hi, Ken, I'm Joe Buck. And he goes, and I had done like the World Series a couple times. This is whenever he had just been with since made the move over to back to Cincinnati, his hometown. And he said, I got something I want to say to you. I was like, okay. I said, clearly I keep watching you look at me with this side eye glare. And he goes, my wife, she can't stand the Reds announcer. So she listens to the other team's games, their broadcast when we're playing on the road. And she was listening to you. And you said last night that it looks like I don't ever smile anymore. And that the best thing about Ken Griffey Jr. back in the day was the ear-to-ear grin and the hat backward and a guy who looked like he was having the time of his life. And you said, I don't smile anymore. And before I could answer, he goes, well, let me tell you why. If you get traded back to your hometown and everybody expects this and I've had death threats and I've had blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, okay. Isn't that kind of what I said? That you don't look like you're having fun anymore. And he goes, tonight, I'm going to give you the biggest eating grin you've ever seen in your life. I was like, all right. And by the end we were talking and he was great. And so I go up to the booth, he's hitting third, now batting center fielder, Ken Griffey Jr. He leaves the on deck circle. I swear to God, takes two steps, stops, looks up to me, who he just met in the Cardinals TV broadcast booth, gives this ridiculous smile up to me, and then walks in and goes for his first at bat. I was like, that was the most odd, great thing that I've ever experienced.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good.
The ego, man. Like the fragility of a St. Louis TV play-by-play broadcaster quip. It upset his wife.
Yep.
So he had to settle the score.
It's human,
the next
man.
Day. Yeah, no, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Just settle the score. And like
Ken Griffey Jr.
And it wasn't until like, yeah, man. Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm not happy. Yeah, good point.
Right.
Good point. I'm totally not happy.
Any of this, because I haven't listened to the Buck episode yet. It just came out today. Any of it inspired at all by Spiegel Idol? Like, are you talking about
100%.
Okay.
100%. What we did on Spiegel Idol, first of all, I don't get the gig unless you...
That's not what I was...
I know.
That's not why I brought it up.
But that's true.
That is not why I brought it
up. But that is true. Believe me. But no, I thought what we did with Spiegel Idol, where for anybody who doesn't know, the first five games, for each inning, we would bring people on. We had Buck on, we had Benetti on, we had Pat Hughes, and we had Boog Shambi.
Yes.
I would say it was fine.
There you go. and we tried to do it with Jim Brockmeyer, which continues to be a dream for this podcast.
What? Oh, sure.
Right?
Yeah, so, that'd be great.
Hopefully, you know, Hank Azaria.
You put him on the podcast before you put him on the radio show?
No, that's up to us as a group.
I know where I'm voting.
Yeah. I know where I would vote, too.
Well, that's another thing to be discussed, by the way, is like, what do we do? Like, I've got a couple great stories that people gave me that I'm sitting on, and like, we'll play them here, of course.
Of course we will.
We'll play them and promote the podcast.
Yeah. That's how it should work.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a quick discussion.
Yeah, good. I'm glad we talked. about that. But yeah, man, Spiegel Idol, like, you remember Benetti? Remember how good Benetti was in that Spiegel Idol? It was a freaking masterclass.
Incredible.
So yes, these conversations will absolutely serve for young play-by-play people, for aspiring students. We're going to hit up some schools, you know, and just let them know that this exists as a possible teaching tool to augment what they're doing.
Very absolutely. Cool. So that's kind of what I was saying. Is it like origin stories of the play-by-play broadcasters, like biographical, or is it about the act and art of play-by-play?
It is a love letter to the craft of doing it.
Very
cool. How do you do it? What are the nuts and bolts of doing it? What is the special thing that you have to have in the booth and why? What's part of your prep you have to do and why?
Very cool.
Get them to tell us about moments. Buck tells us about a great moment from his dad's career. We went and pulled the call and put that in there, and he chose a couple of moments from his own career. We put that call in there because it's in partnership with MLB. So all the
I have access to the audio.
Yeah, all the audio is going to be in there every week. So
very, very cool. Well, congrats, man.
Thanks, man.
On the new venture. Check it out, the PBP. It is a play-by-play podcast brought to you by a play-by-play voice talking to a play-by-play voice.
The PBP. I bring you the people who bring you the game.
Oh.
Hey. Huh?
That's,
a little too slick and cheesy.
A little wordy, but...
What was your Memorial Day sale?
But I host 1ST ampersand pod.
Somebody recommended to me that I put a seldom used punctuation mark in the title.
No.
Just to get it a little more searchable.
To make it tougher to find?
Well, that's the big question. Can you find it on the Odyssey app?
I'm sure you can.
Oh, boy, I hope so.
I'm sure you can.
Hold on.
And search my pod. Still can. It's all good.
But people listen to yours, though.
Yeah, it's actually doing pretty well.
First in pod.
Despite everyone's best efforts, it's actually doing pretty well. Shockingly. We have some crack slippers before Dave Wanstead, who is already in the build, coming up on the score.
I love Wani.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
This is John Sterling, voice of the New York Yankees. You know, Susan, you simply can't get enough of Parkins and Spiegel on the score.
So, you know, it's funny that that didn't come up. That must have slipped through the cracks.
Dave Wanstead in studio in 15 minutes. Don't know what it was, but apparently he brought Shane another gift. So we will, the last one was his name on a chef hat. So looking forward to seeing what this one was today. Speaks and I don't know about it, but Dave going to hang out with us for a little bit. But we were gone and apart from each other for many days over the holiday weekends.
Yeah.
People gone. A lot of things that we have not gotten to get to. Short show with the Cubs game. So we got some crack slippers.
Yeah, all right. First one that I wanted to make sure that you and I talked about is Eric Lewis, the NBA referee.
Yes, sir.
Who had a burner account. Everybody know what a burner account is on Twitter at this point?
Yeah, or Instagram or whatever. It's just an
whiteboard.
It's an account that's not in your name, so you can
search stuff or follow people or like things or whatever, that and it's not tracked back to you. It's an anonymous account for your online dealings.
Right. And sometimes you get found out. It was Jerry Colangelo Jr. whose wife had a burner account and she would constantly defend him as a basketball executive.
Something like Kevin Durant would be like, KD is better than LeBron. And it was from like a fake account that was then Kevin Durant, and he was logging out from his account. And it's very embarrassing if you get discovered with a burner.
So a Twitter.
I have a burner account so that I can follow Brad Bix. 100% true. 100% true.
Well, now aren't you tempted to use that burner for other things? Go out and defend yourself? And...
No, never.
Yeah. Because you'll defend yourself on your own account.
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no. Well, I've never once tweeted for my burner account.
But I'd get a burner account for the OnlyFans of girls I went to high school with.
There you go. Yeah, that's an option.
So Danny and I are the only ones with burners on the show.
I don't have a burner account. Why do you have a burner account?
Just I don't tweet from it, but I will. It's like a different feed where sometimes you just get sick of all the nonsense. So I just want my news and sports. So I'll scroll through with the burner so I don't get too much of the nonsense that you see on Twitter.
Oh, sure. So you only follow like news sources and such. The way that it was originally used. I get it.
I don't go to the burner that often. It's literally just for people who have blocked me. That's really all it is.
Long list, huh?
A few people on there.
Imagine what I'd say on a burner that I don't want to say on my public account.
I probably shouldn't
have one.
Danger.
I've never tweeted from it, but I use it to see people who have blocked me.
Well, if you were an NBA ref like Eric Lewis, maybe you would feel the need to have a burner account because he wanted to defend himself. A Twitter user named Pablo Escaburner. Let me just applaud that.
Yeah, that's not bad.
If I can.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Congratulations.
Thank you for Pablo. He found out that this Twitter account named Blair Cutliffe was actually the NBA ref Eric Lewis. You'll never guess how he found out. It's because Blair Cutliffe did nothing but defend NBA ref Eric Lewis in his dealings. That's all that the account did. Hundreds and hundreds of tweets defending Eric Lewis.
You got to cover your tracks better, Eric.
How about this? Once they decided to look into it a little bit, they found out that Blair Cutliffe had zero followers. Okay.
Yeah, most do.
He followed five accounts: the NBA's main account, NBA's official updates page, the official NBA referees account, Referee Analytics as an account.
Oh my God.
And George Mason Women's Basketball, where Eric Lewis's wife is a coach.
This guy is the worst.
Who's this, Mitch using an email?
He criticized a random Phoenix Suns fans referee rankings that had Eric Lewis 69th. Nice. On the rankings.
Yeah, nicely done.
So he was found out and he deactivated the account. And now he's reactivated it. He still has zero followers. He has 1,527 followers. He now has 1,527 followers as of the...
People are now following the referee's burner account.
Correct. Mm. Correct.
See, you messed up. Now you got the spotlight on you.
Here's what's interesting. He has followed a sixth account, Pablo Escoburner. So he's followed the guy who found him out and exposed him, and the NBA is investigating. Anything wrong with this?
No.
If you're the NBA?
What are you investigating? The guy's defending himself.
He's with a burner account.
I mean, like, maybe suggest therapy, but I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
It's causing no harm.
No. But it's just, you know, a little petty.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, hey, man, maybe prioritize some other things. But I don't think there's anything nefarious here.
This is the same guy. Everybody thinks he favors the Celtics. It's the same guy who grimaced when Jimmy Butler's shot went in earlier in
that
series.
That was a tough look. That was a tough visual. I don't know really what the justification for that could have been. But, you know, I'm also the guy that does believe that we watch fixed sporting events every so often.
You think it's just it happens to be?
I think it's just a thing that happens.
Wow.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah.
I don't want to know. You don't want to know that it's fixed. If it is fixed, that would suck. If it's fixed,
it would suck.
You know what I mean? So, but I think it happens. I think it's happened before.
All right. So the other one is Le'Veon Bell, the former Steelers and Jets running back,
admitting something that we have long suspected of many football players. And yeah, sure, maybe Le'Veon Bell.
It's conception about me with the whole weed thing. But like looking back on this, like, bro, like that's what I did. Like, you know, when I was playing football, I smoked, bro. Like, I was even before the games, I'll smoke. You know, I'll go out there and run for 150, two tubs.
In the NFL? Like,
yeah.
150 yards and two touchdowns after he smoked weed before a game.
Not surprising. Not a surprising thing.
You remember Sean Smith, the former Kansas City Chief defensive lineman?
Oh, me and Sean Smith have a history together.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He once told me to go suck a pickle online. Yeah, and then we got into it in the locker room, and there was like a whole big there was a whole big ordeal.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you're talking about the defensive tackle, right?
Yeah.
Not the corner?
Yeah.
The defensive. Me and Sean Smith had a few blow-ups when I was in Kansas City.
Wow, that's amazing. But yeah. he said that he smoked two blunts before every game. When I smoke, I can focus and actually do the job I have.
That is not surprising.
I feel like nobody can stop me when I'm out there. As you know, Percy Harvin said, there's not a game I played in that I wasn't high, says Percy Harvin.
I mean, Michael Phelps became the greatest Olympian ever by getting high. Like, these guys, you know, they get after it.
Hold on, dude.
That's not the only way he did it.
Hold on, man.
All he had to do was get high.
That's not even what we're talking about anymore, Speaks, because right. We found the suck a pickle thing. Did he say it to you in person and then again on Twitter?
No. He said it on Twitter, and then we had a blow up in person after that happened.
But did he say it to you on Twitter more than once? Because the way he responded to you leaving Kansas City, he tweets, this is January 9th, 2017, 2:18 p.m. Aw. Go suck a pickle is leaving. Congrats on the next new gig, my guy.
Oh, yeah, we had made up since like after that.
Setting my guy at the end of it.
We had made up. No, we've joked about it. He had to come on the show. Like we made up, but no, the original go suck a pickle was years before.
So
that.
He just became the go suck a pickle. Yeah, guy from that, then
that's
on.
That's how he knew me.
Wow. This
that's
is our special high clip. Quality humor.
Yeah, yeah,
my guy.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
My guy.
All right, so one thought on Le'Veon Bell playing high. His running style, extremely patient and intuitive.
And like borderline indecisive.
Right? Calm.
Little panicky.
Well, or was it panicky to brilliance? Because he didn't barrel ahead and hit the hole. He approached the line of scrimmage in full control. He picked his spots.
You think he ran like a pothead?
That's what I'm saying. Hmm. That his running style as a running back fits his drug of choice. A cocaine running back would just be barreling through the hole
sure.
with no regard for anything. An LSD running back might just be examining the ball after
the
handoff, like contemplating where the hole actually is, yeah. Never get to the line of scrimmage.
Absolutely.
Le'Veon ran like a pothead. Now that I think about his style.
All right,
your thoughts?
I agree.
Okay.
I think you've done a perfect drug analysis of different running back styles.
Thank you very much.
Across the board.
I'm here all week.
Did you guys find out anything else? You guys are cackling.
Well, now we're moving over to Speaks.
Uh-oh.
Listeners have found the PBP podcast on the Odyssey app specifically.
Yeah. Oh, good.
First result, PBP, a Peaky Blinders podcast.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No way. That's the first result.
PBP, is a result?
A Peaky Blinders podcast.
Okay.
It's a podcast covering the latest episodes of the show Peaky Blinders.
Wait a minute.
Am I the second result, at least?
I don't know, man. I'm not looking.
Okay. Wait a minute. I'm gonna look right now.
That's unfortunate.
PB.
You find this pod.
No. If you do PBP on Odyssey under podcast, it's the first thing that comes up. The PBP, Voices of Baseball.
Okay.
The second one is a Peaky Blinders podcast.
Okay.
That's amazing.
All right.
That is incredible. Whew. You're on there. Now, you want to search my name and we'll see.
It's the Danny Parkins show, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, let's
Dave Wanstead's here. He's raring to go. He's got paper and a pen.
Yeah,
all
let's
set.
Break and talk to him.
Yeah, all you right. Search my name and my podcast still doesn't come up. Dave Wanstead in studio. He gave Shane a gift. Maybe he has thoughts on Le'Veon Bell smoking pot before games. Do the coaches know if Justin Fields is good yet? Lots to get into. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
Oh, I love Wani.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.